Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Hey, this morning I think it's quite pertinent coming into the festive season, and it's the season to be jolly. And we're not going to sing, but it is the season to be jolly. And I just felt it was quite pertinent. Hey, great to have Mark and Liz back. Thank you for coming back. These guys just decided to take on the just the small challenge of base camp and Everest. So good job, guys. Glad you're home. Glad you're home. Thanks for all sharing the journey and the photos. Appreciate it. But we find ourselves coming into a season, as it's called. But this morning, I'd love to just speak a little bit about seasons. And we've had a phenomenal season here at McKinnon, and an incredibly privileged and blessed time here at McKinnon. And it's time for us to look at a new season. And so today I thought it was relevant and appropriate to speak about, and even though I didn't mention that to Jacinta, a lot of the lyrics in the songs we've sung this morning just really kind of dovetail and parallel with this message so well, which is great. But if I had to ask you, what is your favourite season, what would you say? Somebody just said chicken salt. I said, no, season, not seasoning. Summer, any summer fans out there? All right, any spring fans? Well, hello. Autumn? Any winter fans out there? All the snow bunnies? Well, I know we all have, you know, like when I was looking into and thinking about seasons, I mean, Melbourne's typically known as the city of four seasons in a day, and I think it's warranted. I love all the seasons. I'm not sure if I have a favourite as such. I just love the variety, the diversity. And mind you, it never ceases to amaze me. In the middle of summer, people just go, oh, it's so hot, it's so hot. And in the middle of winter, you know, complaining, it's so cold. You live in Melbourne. Like, seriously, what do you expect? If you're expecting, like, you know, eternal spring, go to a city named Kunming in the Yunnan province in China, because it's actually the city that's described as eternal spring. Every day, for the most part, is like just blue skies, sort of low to mid-20s, just mild. But you live in Melbourne, so we should be used to the idea by now that we're going to get some days that are 40 plus and some days in winter that are a little bit chilly. But, you know, we talk about seasons, and I kind of like, has anyone ever listened to Vivaldi's Four Seasons in totality? You've listened to that in full? The four pieces that represent the seasons, if I'm correct, I think it goes for just over 40 minutes of a piece. What a phenomenal composer that guy was to be able to put that together, as all the composers were. But, you know, there are certain indicators and signs that you're moving in from one season to the next, not clearly defined always, but, you know, I know for me, I know when we're coming into spring because of hay fever, and it's this season's been kind of quite intense and bad. For all the fellow, and we as a family kind of like, we progressed from doing the, the kind of like the whole Spotto thing, and we developed our own game, which indicated the arrival of sort of spring, summertime. That's called Jacaranda. So whenever we saw a tree with the flowers, the purple flowers, Jacarandas on it, it was like the first one to say Jacaranda means you got a point. So as we're driving around, it was like Jacaranda, Jacaranda, so feel free to steal that one. But like it just sort of made me reminisce as I was going down all these games when the girls were a little bit littler and stuff. And I don't know, like, you know, today, kids, it's great doing a road trip in the car because, you know, your kids, you have like an iPad, you have an iPhone, and if you're old school, you have an iPod. Some of the younger guys are looking, what's that? They used to be things where you'd play music through. But when I was a kid, we had this thing called I Spy. Anyone with me on that? Like, come on, bring it back. And I'm the youngest of six, and so it was mum, dad, six kids and the dog in the Kingswood station wagon. And we had the bench seat in the front, so there's three, and then there's another seat of three. And my brother and I, being the youngest and the smallest at the time, was like crammed in the back with the dog, back in the day when you didn't need the seats in the very back and didn't need seat belts, and you could just, we were just thrown in the back, and we put a mattress in the very back, and Mark and I, and, you know, we'd want to play I Spy all the time. But, you know, anyone remember the Kingswood station wagons? Did anyone? Yeah. So we're going old school today. Good season of life. But this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about seasons. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. And in it is a very well-known passage that sort of gives some insight into seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm starting in verse 1. And we'll get into this. It says here, there is a time for everything and a season. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And there is the other verses there. And then if you jump down to verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are just such an immensely huge, great God, but you are concerned with us as individuals, and you desire to be a part of our lives intimately if we want that. Thank you that you care for us, that you do have a plan and a purpose for every single one of us in this room, for us as a church together. And so this morning, Father, as we look at this idea of seasons that you've instituted in nature, life itself, that we would take something from this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the conversations that I have with people regularly is, you know, people kind of like just say, look, I'm not really sure what God's doing in my life right now. Or I'm not really sure how God's at work or if God's at work. It's sort of like some people say, you know, it seemed like there was a point where God, everything that was going on was great and there was great times of blessing, but it's really not kind of like that now. Or it seemed like all my prayers were being answered, but now it's almost like I've got this kind of brass doors that are blocking every single prayer that I'm trying to pray. Things used to be really easy, but now they're actually really hard. And I'm not really sure what's happening. Like, what is God doing? I don't know if you've ever asked that. What's God doing? Where is God in the midst of all of this? And people kind of chat and they want to know, you know, like talking about, oh, I'm trying to work out, is there a secret to understanding kind of like where God's at in my life right now? What is God up to in my life right now? And if I had to kind of like answer that question, if there was a so-called secret, then I'd probably say it's captured in this one word that we want to talk about this morning, and that is the word seasons. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's all about seasons. All of us in this room are in a different season of life. As I look around, and I know some of you better than others, I know that all of us in this room are in a different kind of season. Some of us are new parents, some are about to become parents, some have been parents for a while, and maybe the kids have grown, and now you're kind of like the empty nesters, and you're trying to work out, what do I do with my life without the kids? And look, oh, who's that? Oh, it's my wife. Oh, do we actually like each other? Yeah, we do. That's good. And you're trying to work out how this whole thing works without kids. Some of you have just started a new job. Some of you are in between jobs. Some of you want a new job, some of you just don't want to work at all, and others are getting ready to retire, or maybe there are those in the room who are retired and loving that and well-deserved, go you. Some of you are maybe in this room maybe dating or thinking about a relationship or would like a relationship. Maybe people in the room that are newly married, maybe there are people in this room who are divorced. There are those in the room that are maybe working on their marriage for 20, 30, 40 years and still trying to work it out, which is a lifelong quest and journey. Some of us are new followers of Christ and the whole God thing is new and exciting to you right now. Some of us have been on this faith journey for years, if not decades. Some of us may be back in church after a long time away from it. There are people in the room that are maybe leaders in the life of the church. There's people who are volunteers and on teams in the life of the church. There are people sitting here and going, you know what, I'm just sussing this place out to see whether I want to actually give of my time and resources to this. So you're a little bit kind of like sussing things out at the moment. Maybe there are people in this room that you feel like you're kind of, you know, Brad Pitt in Joe Black, and you're kind of like just ripped and rock hard and you're feeling the best you've ever felt, and others are struggling in their health. Some are loving life and everything you touch, it feels like kind of you've got the Midas touch. It's like everything is just being blessed and it's great and it's fantastic. And then there's others in the room that you're kind of like just feeling life, really? I just want to get off this thing called life. It feels like a merry-go-round. I just want to get off. And we're all in different seasons. And this morning, I just want to try and maybe, from a biblical perspective, give some perspective on that and understanding of the seasons of life. And just as we as individuals, we as a church, and churches go through seasons. We celebrate the season that we've had here at McKinnon and look forward to the next season. And part of seasons, they can be a spiritual thing where God wants to take a church through a spiritual transformative process in a particular area and understanding of an attribute or characteristic of who he is. And so a church will go through a season of revelation of that, and God will work his way through that. And there can be lots of different kinds of seasons, and locations can be just one season that a church goes through. We started in Burke Crescent, and kind of before we were formalized or structured as a church. And then we kind of like had our first official meeting at the Glen Ira Town Hall, which is fascinating, which is where we're going next week for our carol service. So it's kind of nice little wrap up to this year that we're kind of the two locations we've been in, we get to be a part of before the year's out. But on October the 7th, 2007, we had our first meeting there. We stayed there till the end of March in 2011. And on the 3rd of April, 2011, we had our first service in the Theatrette, which is just down there a bit. And then about 3 years ago, we moved into this space to give us an opportunity to grow. And now we find ourselves over the next, you know, sort of 6 weeks, a little bit nomadic, a little bit gypsy-like, and sort of using the town hall and then WD Rose and then kind of the Duncan McKinnon Reserve as our home before we actually get to move into the next season for us as a church, being in our first kind of home for us as our church, which is really, really exciting. So, you know, like over the next week, can I just ask as a church, should we just jump on board and just embrace it for the adventure that it is? It's exciting. We can look at it like, oh, how annoying, how this, how that. But like, it's all in our perspective. It's how we choose to view it. And can we continue just to invite people to our carol service next week? We've got such a great lineup of things that you, your family and friends are going to actually love that. But, you know, so talking about seasons, have you ever had anyone say to you, just enjoy the season you're in? Have you ever had anyone say that? It's like, you know, sometimes that's good because you're going through a good season. But when you're not going through a good season and somebody says that to you, hopefully it's coming from somebody who's a little bit further down the track than you, that has actually had kids and gone through what you do. Because they've gone through it and their kids have turned out all right and they've done well, and they look at you stressing about something which for you in that moment is a big deal. And you can be overwhelmed by what's happening in that moment, but they're sitting a little bit further down the track and they're just thinking, oh, just relax. Just trust God with it. Keep praying and believing God's got it, and just don't stress so much about it. And all you want to do is just punch them in the throat. Do you seriously know what the heck is going on over here? They're going, it's okay. Just enjoy the season you're in. I can't enjoy it. You know, when you kind of like, you know, have babies and you kind of like just kind of interrupted sleep and changing nappies and you kind of like, you know, you haven't had actually any quality time with your partner for months or weeks or whatever the case may be. And just enjoy the season you're in. It's like, seriously? But the best bit of advice I did get when we had newborn is like, Phil, you got to realize everyone says that they grow up so quick. When it's 2:30 in the morning and all you want to do is sleep, but all they want to do is be held by you, just enjoy it. And I'm so glad I listened to that because I can't actually hold my daughters for that long anymore. And they wouldn't want me to anyway. But I cherish those moments just to enjoy the season that we're in. And as we're entering this Christmas season, I just want to talk about this just a little bit. If you've never read Ecclesiastes, it's kind of a unique and it's a different book. Scholars would say it's more of an observational book than a prescriptive book. By that I mean that it's actually describing how life is, not as it should be. And so the author Solomon, the Bible would say, is the wisest guy that's ever lived. So what he's writing about is his own experiences of life as it was, not as it should be. So as you read it, you just go, oh man, I can so relate to what he's writing about there. So there's so much in it that we can glean from. And he says to us here that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Then he lists the various seasons. Some seem good and some not so. But what he's saying is that it implies that God allows or brings different seasons in and across our path and into our life. And there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven. And then in verse 11, after listing all these seasons, he says he has made everything beautiful in its time, or in his timing. And he's also set eternity in the hearts of man, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning. Now, see, the thing is, let me just touch on this quickly. But, you know, we may not be as smart as Solomon, but he sits in the Old Testament. So he didn't have the New Testament like we do. So within the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed. And in the New Testament, we see that what is written in the Old Testament is revealed or explained to us so we can get the full understanding. And that full understanding comes through revelation of who Jesus Christ is, his life, his teachings. So through Jesus, the Old Testament actually makes sense because the Old Testament was forecasting, predicting, prophesying, expecting that Jesus would come, and he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So if we take what Solomon is saying here, that God provides and he allows for seasons to come in and across our path, and we go through life experiencing seasons, what does the New Testament have to say about that? How does the New Testament explain seasons? Well, the Apostle Paul, the most prolific writer in the New Testament, writes this in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. Now here it is, to bring unity to all things in heaven and in earth under Christ. So what Paul's saying here is the ultimate purpose and reason for us going through seasons is that we would have our lives and life in general come under the rulership and the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. So even though the season doesn't make sense and it doesn't look good, we have to trust that God is in control, and we need to understand that it's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's not about what I want, it's but how does this, what I'm going through, actually come under the lordship? How does my life come under the rulership, the authority of Jesus Christ? Because otherwise the alternative to that is that I try and do things my own way, and I might touch on that in just a minute. See, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. I don't like that. I just want good times. I just want party times. I just want food times without putting on weight. I just want the good times. We don't want the bad times, but it's telling us that God changes times and seasons. And he has a schedule. Before eternity began, he has a schedule and a plan for our lives. The tricky bit is he doesn't reveal that schedule to us in full. That'd be nice. And that's why Solomon actually says, no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. So we can't see the big picture, but God sees the big picture. He has a plan and purpose for why he allows certain things and for us to go through certain seasons. Because for each of us, that plan and purpose, your destiny was actually created before eternity or time itself came into effect. God had it all mapped out, had it all planned out, that our lives would be experienced in seasons. Everything that God wanted to do through your life was decided before your life ever began. But you don't experience everything that God has all at once. It comes out in stages and phases, or it comes out in and through seasons. And I don't know about you, but I always like to skip to the next season. I just always look and go, okay, this is good, but I just, what's next? I mean, I remember being in primary school, it was like, you know what, this is good, but I just, older brothers and sisters, I just want to be in high school. I got to high school, but now I'm the bottom of the rung. I'm in grade 7. I can't wait to be in year 12, so I'm the head of the school kind of thing. Get into year 12, and it's like, I can't wait to get to uni. I'm over this high school. I just can't wait to get to uni. Get to uni, and you're at the bottom of the rung again. I can't wait to become a fourth-year student. Then, you know, by the time you kind of finish third year and fourth year, I can't wait to kind of, I just don't want to be a POV uni student anymore. I can't wait until I actually start earning money, and then I can actually start to live. And then I start living and getting paid, and it's like, oh, wow, I don't like the bills, but I can't wait to start traveling. I can't wait to do this. It's almost like we just want the next season. I don't know if you'll like that. Most of the time we want the next season because we think the next season's going to be better than the one that we're in right now. Now, there's a tension in what I'm saying because we should have the hope and belief and faith that the best is yet to come. But the reality of life is that even though the best is yet to come, there's still going to be hardship, struggle, and trial in the process of getting to the best that's yet to come. It's not going to be void of hardship. I don't know about you, but you might not admit this, but there's sometimes a part of us that looks at other people and the season that they're in and the success that they're enjoying or enjoyed and the place in life where they find themselves. And we're thinking, if I could just get there, if I could just have what they have, if I could just be doing what they're doing or got what they've got, then I'd be content. But I want to let you into a spiritual secret this morning. Every season has a struggle. You need to hear what I'm saying. Every season has a struggle. You can't see it. You can look from the outside at people's situations and circumstances, but you don't know their struggle. And you won't know the struggle until you're in that season yourself, if that season is appropriately part of your future in God. And if you get this truth, if you get the understanding that every season of life has its struggle, it'll actually set you free from envy. It'll set you free from comparison. It'll set you free from, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be that. When you're not actually called to be that, you're not actually called to be doing that. This is who God has called you to be. And there's a confidence and there's a security that comes when you understand that every season has its struggle. You know, where the problem is when we look at other people, we see how high the tree is going, but we have no idea how deep the roots have had to go for the tree to be that big. We see the fruit that's actually being produced on the branches, but we have no idea the fight that was required to see that fruit produced or the cost that was required. You observe somebody else's life as a visitor, and we observe and we watch and we see Facebook images and posts of the best of their life, and we think that's what it's all about, but there is more to it than a snapshot 2 seconds of their day. Let me just tell you about that person maybe that you look at and that maybe you want to be, the person that you look at that you'd love to be in their shoes maybe. There's some stuff that you can't see that makes them who they are. And that doesn't necessarily always mean it's good stuff either. There's struggles in their season, just like you might be having struggles in yours. Let me prove it. If there's anyone that's married in this room and you really were excited to get married, now that you're married, it's not perfect, is it? I'm not here to... I'm not belittling marriage. I'm just talking, this is life. You know, just because you're married just doesn't mean that, like, utopia. Not the TV show, just... It's not like that anymore. Thank you. I've got a couple of people being honest this morning. But there are still moments of loneliness. There's still moments where, like, I just, you know, it just, life happens. Just because we have this expectation, once I go into that season of marriage, it's going to solve all my problems. No. It is wonderful. It's amazing. There's so many wonderful things about it, but it's not all perfect. And I think that's what Solomon's talking about in these things in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, he says that I wasn't content in my season. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, he tried piling up wealth, but then he had to worry about how to protect the wealth that he'd accumulated. He says, I tried pleasure, but guess what? There was a hangover every next morning. He tried wisdom, but there were so many books that he got exhausted and wore himself out trying just to read them. Can you believe that this guy Solomon, the richest, wisest guy, still had struggles in the seasons of his life? I think a lot of us look at people and go, oh, I'd love that. I'd love to be in that season. But when you actually find out that there are struggles in the season that that person is going through. The wealthiest guy around had many beautiful women, could have all that he wanted. He had unlimited power, yet he struggled. It's like no matter how great the success, there's always a struggle. You know, and I think sometimes churches emphasize the heartbroken, the pain, the agony stuff, as we should, because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And we understand and we're comfortable in communicating about ministering to people who are in a broken state. A lot of the language we use is that we don't actually talk a lot about the successful state, of the struggles that can happen in the state of success. We believe for God's best is yet to come. We believe that God wants to bless us, heal us, restore us. A lot of the songs we sing are about kind of healing the broken and restoring and stuff like that. But there can be just as much of a struggle in the state of success as there is in the state of pain and brokenness. You know, some of us in this room are trying to work out, what do I do with the success God's given me? You know, and a lot of us would sit here and just go, well, I know what I'd do with it. But you don't, because you're not in that season. You don't understand there are struggles in that season. So the first point, we're going to wrap this up. The first point is every season has its struggles. The grass is not always greener. You know, it's not just tough seasons that have their struggles. When you look deeper and you get to hear success stories and begin to hear that they have their own struggles in the midst of what from the outside appears to be so exciting and successful, you can get this 2-second snapshot And the great thing is that God says, you know, I want to be in the midst of the heartache and the struggle and the pain there with the brokenness. But, hey, I'm with you here in the midst of the success and the struggles that you have. Just because you're successful doesn't mean that God's not going to be there for you. So every season has its struggle, and you won't know what those struggles are until you're in that season, if that's part of God's plan. The second thing, every season has its purpose. Every season has its purpose. As I said, before time began, God has a plan, a purpose for your life. He's got that mapped out for us. And when we're willing to submit to his plan, that's when satisfaction and true contentment comes. Because you start to slipstream into God's blueprint for your life, and suddenly things begin to make sense. You start to use your gifts as they are meant to be used. You start to be positioned and in places where you're meant to be. You start to meet the people that you're meant to. So it's not about you, it's about others. And so you start to realize, wow, God's put me in this place at this time so that I can just simply just encourage this person. Or God's provided me or blessed me with this, so therefore I can actually help that person that has lack in that area. And I align myself with his will and his plan and his purpose. But that's where it comes into actually understanding that every season has its struggle, and we don't want to slip into the realm of comparison or wanting to be somebody that we're not. So I've got to have that attitude in the midst of this that, you know what, I'm going to stand for God in my season that I'm in right now. I'm going to glorify God whether I feel like it or not, whether I'm in a season of success or a season of pain or somewhere in between. I choose to glorify and worship God in my season and use the time that I have to use the gifts God's given me. I'm going to rejoice in that season and be glad until God moves me into another season. So the first truth about seasons is that every season has its struggle that you can't see till you're in it. And most of the time, every season has a purpose that you don't know until you're through it. Because when we're in the midst of it, we have more questions than answers more often than not. What is God doing in the midst of this? It's not until we get out of it. And if we actually take the time, we actually stay the path and stay the course, and we endure it and get through it, we can look back and just go, oh man, Jesus was there the whole flipping time. Jesus came across when that person spoke to me and just wanted to encourage me. That's what I needed in that moment. Here I am whinging and complaining, and those words were just great comfort and encouragement to me. That was Jesus in the midst of my situation. I didn't even see it at the time, but looking back, I can actually just see time and time again how God stayed with me. And so there is a purpose for every season that we go through. And this morning we want to acknowledge some people that are going through a season where part of the purpose while they're on the planet is being recognized. And this morning we want to acknowledge some people that this is really exciting, because this has never happened in the life of our church, that this morning we've got some people that are receiving their P plates, probationary minister's certificates, in the step of ordination, which is very, very exciting. So I would like to invite Katie, Shawantha and Michael to walk forward. So this morning, what we have is some quality young men and young lady that it's very clear to us that there is a call of God upon their lives, and we, I guess, credentialing is actually part of the acknowledgement of the gift and call that's on their life. And so today we are very, very blessed to be able to commission these guys and acknowledge that they've received their PMC, which is Probationary Minister's Certificate. And it is a acknowledgement of that gift and call that God has on their life. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So God gives our community certain people with gifts and calls to help build up and strengthen our community. So I'd love for Eldon, and I'd love for Elise, and I'd love for Holly to come and stand with these guys. And because when we pray for these guys, we're not just praying for them, we're praying for, you know, in Michael and Shawantha's case, better half, and Katie's case, half. He's my nephew-in-law, so I can say that. And I would love for our board to come forward, please, and stand with us this morning. Hey, Elise. Hey, Keegan. Asleep. So this is very exciting for us. You know, as a church, we believe in the priesthood of all believers in the sense that everybody here who attends Compass Church is a minister for Christ. So we're all called to be ministers for the gospel of Jesus Christ and wherever we find ourselves. And so what we're acknowledging here today is for the ministry role in the life of our church is that these guys with their gift and a call of God on their life, is it just a recognition and acknowledgement of that through the PMC process, which then leads to an OMC, Ordained Minister's Certificate. So it is like they're on their P's for a little while and they need to prove themselves and no speeding fines or anything like that along the journey. And just because they have, let's just be clear, just because they have a PMC doesn't mean we have to call them pastor. It's, you know, yes, these guys, no, in all seriousness, we as a church, we believe in the office of pastor. That's a gift and it's a call on people's life. Just like when I, speak with Nat, Nat would acknowledge that she's not a pastor. It's not a title that she wants biblically speaking. She's my wife and we do all this together, but it's not Pastor Phil and Pastor Nat, it's Pastor Phil and Nat. And she has her own gifts and talents in and of her own right. Pastor's not part of what I believe, you know, the biblical scriptural definition of what a pastor is. I'm not saying Michael's not pastoral, but he's probably more like Nat in the sense of the level of pastoralness. So, just being honest, and we all know. And so, you know, when just because they are given a PMC doesn't mean that it's an acknowledgement of the gift and the call that we have in terms of edifying and building up the body of Christ, our church here, which we're incredibly blessed to have these guys in our church and what they bring. And this guy is an unbelievable compliment for me, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do without him and Holly and stuff. And so, you know, today we want to acknowledge the gift and the call of God upon Katie and Cher's life as well, and with Elise and Eldon. This is no small thing. And so I'd love us to stand just for a minute if we could, please. I don't know if I've offended anyone here this morning, mate, but you know.
I will later, don't worry.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that before time began that you put within Michael, Katie and Cher, you put within their plan, their purpose, this day. Thank you, Father, that this morning as a church family, we get to acknowledge and recognize the gift and the call. Father God, thank you for the evangelistic, the heart that Michael has for our community, this city and nations around the world. Thank you for the gifts that you've put within him, Father God, that are a great strength and benefit to us as a church that helps to bring strength and building up. We thank you for Katie. Thank you for Cher. Also, likewise, for their gifts and talents that they have, their experiences have all come together at this point in time for us to acknowledge and recognize in your presence here today. Father, so we just want to commission them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit today. Father, for the good works that you've prepared in advance for them to do. Thank you, Father God, that you've blessed us as a church with them, that they are here and they have served and will continue to serve faithfully and diligently. Father God, so that this church could be as strong as you intend it to be. So, Father, we commission them. We thank you for it. We thank you for all that they've brought and all they're going to bring to the life of this church. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Very, very cool, guys. Okay, last point. Every season has its purpose, and congratulations to those guys. The last one is that every season has its time or its timing. Seasons start and finish, but as we know with natural seasons, there's not always an obvious delineation between, you know, spring and summer. Summer is supposed to start December the 1st. Yeah, right. You know, we're in Melbourne. But it's not as clear-cut as that. And I think the thing is about seasons too is that in terms of timing, they won't last. That's good news if you're in a bad season. Hang in there. Tomorrow holds the answer to the problem you face today. And so, you know, it's not about giving up. It's not about walking away. It's about holding on. And for some of us that are in good seasons right now, don't tell me it's going to end. Well, it's life. I pray that it's a prolonged and there is certainly more great seasons in your life than there are struggles or trials. But that's the reality of life, that there are going to be times. And I love this. I struggle with it. But Solomon writes here that he has made everything beautiful in its time, or in his timing. And we know that God's timing is always perfect. And I love the fact that God can make something beautiful out of something that's ugly or messy. That old song came to mind when I was thinking about that. If anyone's old enough to know, he made something beautiful out of my life. Does anyone remember that song? There we go. Old school this morning, that's right. But you know, right now I pray that this would be an encouragement to you that if something's terrible, if something's miserable, if something's painful, if something is confusing, if it's stirring fear and doubt and not faith in your life, God promises to take something messy and turn it into something beautiful in its time. You might not be able to see how that could possibly happen. And with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. See, one of the worst things that we can do is get discontented with the season that we're in. Because when we get discontented, we try to do things our own way and in our own strength and try to take control of the situation. When God is just going, hey, hold on to me. I'm going to make something beautiful out of this. Hold on to me. Trust me with this, God says. I don't know if you've ever been to a restaurant where they've kind of, you know, you've got to line up or you've got to wait and they give you a buzzer or a pager thing. Kind of with some friends, and we're talking about how annoying it is to have to line up for restaurants and that kind of stuff. I'm just not into it. Doesn't matter how good it is. It's just I'm not patient enough, I guess. But you know, I just don't want to line up. But then when they give you those buzzers, I heard this story how the guy was kind of like given a buzzer, but he kind of went off walking and talking and went out of range. So got buzzed, goes back, was told it's going to be about, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. Went back sort of around 45 minutes. And they said, we buzzed you, but you missed your buzzer and we gave your table to somebody else. Not happy, Jan. Well, that's not fair. Well, you walked out of range. You missed the signal. And now you're going to have to actually wait the whole time again. And sometimes in life we can be like that, is that we kind of like just go, you know what, we're supposed to stay the course, hold tight, go, you know what, no, stuff that. I'm just going to do it my own way. We get out of range and God's calling us going, hey, I've prepared this great table for you. I've got it set for you, but you're out of range. You missed it. And more often than not, you come back and you just go, oh, gee, I was a knucklehead, a cotton-headed niggy muggins. I should have not done that. I should have like... And then God goes, okay, well, you've got to wait. And sometimes in the midst of our season, it's about what do I need to learn in the midst of this season instead of just going off and doing things my own way. Because more often than not, we end up going through the same circumstance again. So the challenge for you, if you keep going through the same sort of circumstances, maybe there's a lesson in there that you haven't learned yet that you need to learn. Talking about timing, you know, every season has its timing. We've got a lot of gifted, talented people in our church. And a lot of people, one of the things I love about a lot of people in the church is the humility that they have, that you would never know the levels of success that they've achieved in their workspace, in their career, within their profession, because they're just so incredibly humble. They just, you know, serve, go about doing things in the life of our church. You just go, wow, if you knew who they were, what they did, you just go, really, that person's doing that. And we've got, I'm going to call her a young lady because she is young, but we've got Chrissy who has, in terms of every season has a time, that she's gone through a season of just incredible hard work within the corporate sector and has done incredibly well. She won't like me saying this, but has done incredibly well and has now come to a season where that part of her life, that season has ended, and she's moving into a new season, which is incredibly exciting. And I think sometimes people can look at people and we think there's been a suddenly in their life, but we have no idea it's been 10 years of slowlies. For us, when we move into our new building and space, and it's going to be great, people will come in and they're going to look at it and they just go, oh, this is amazing. This has just popped up. No, it's been 10 years of slowlies. You know, and for some of you, this is the only space you've known. You didn't know the Glen Ira Town Hall. This is the only space, but there's going to be other people that come to our new facility and that's all they're going to know. And they think it's all a bunch of suddenlies, but it's actually a whole series of slowlies. Slowlies. Slow. But this morning, we just want to acknowledge Chrissy, because in this sense of every season has a time. He has one season has ended in her life and she's transitioning into a new, fresh season. Part of that transition, which we are very, very blessed and appreciative for, is that Chrissy has agreed to take over the oversight of our global perspective, our mission side of what we do, particularly within Malawi and the project there and other projects that we're doing. And so this morning, just wanted to announce that and just wanted to honour Chrissy and say thank you, Chrissy, that you know there's times for seasons. And I know Chrissy's got a great heart for mission. Her whole life has been woven through that throughout the years. And so we're just very, very appreciative, Chrissy, for you to take that on for us. And we're appreciative that this is part of the timing that God has for you and for us. So let's, famous preacher's last words, let's try to wrap this up. That God, in regards to timing, be encouraged that God, Corinthians tells us that God will never allow us to go through more than we can handle. And he provides the way out. Provides the way out if we stay the course. If we hold on and we understand that every season has its struggle. That there's a purpose for going through what I'm going through. And there is a time that this season will come to an end. There's a time to that. And I have to trust God in his timing. And he won't have me go through more than I can actually handle. And if you want big seasons in your life, then you need to be prepared for big struggles. If you want big seasons in your life, if you want that big life, then you have to understand that big life does not come easy. That the small season that you might think, oh, you know, this is, what's my life about? No, you're going through a season right now that is there. There's a purpose for that. There's struggles in it. How you handle those struggles, your understanding of how open you are to learn about the purpose for the season that you're in will prepare you not just to get you through the season you're in, but will prepare you for the future. Moses was in the kingdom for 40 years, but then he was in the wilderness for 40 years. Both of those experiences for 40 years equipped him to take the children of Israel out of captivity through the wilderness and lead them eventually to the promised land. So we've got to understand that what I'm going through right now, there's a purpose for that. There's a timing for that. But if I want that big life, I have to understand there's going to be big struggles. I have to be faithful with what God has called me through to go through now, which will prepare me for the future. And I love this. Isaiah 43 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." That doesn't matter what season you're in, you hold on to him, he will get you through and never give you more than you can handle. And I just love that God can take any season we go through and make something beautiful out of that. And so this morning, we just want to finish off by celebrating our time here at McKinnon and just really honouring and thanking a couple of people because our time here is ended and my time to preach has ended, so we need to wrap this up. Because there's food being cooked and people are getting very distracted with the smell of sausages and barbecue. So that's all good. But we would like to certainly honour Nick, who has just been so amazing. So Nick, can you come here, please? We've seen Nick over the last 6.5 years become kind of like part of our church family and part of us, and this guy is not often seen, but we all experience the benefit of his skill sets each week in terms of lights and the building and sound and all that kind of thing. And today we really want to honour you, mate, because there have been so many times for us as a church family that people here wouldn't know this, but you have gone above and beyond outside of your hours, outside of what... Yep. This guy has served like the hours he has put in for us over and above what was required of him has been truly phenomenal over 6.5 years. And we can't give you enough to say thank you, really. And words don't truly describe the amount of thanks and coming to the rescue with bits of equipment that we've needed last minute and being so flexible with, you know, some of the last minute things that we've thrown at you that we've certainly appreciated. And as things have grown, mate, you've just been like, no problems. He's just, you know. So you're going to run a course on how to do that, mate, for us. And you're going to train a whole bunch of people to have that attitude because, no, but seriously, mate, we really want to just thank you today. Once again, let's thank Nick. And look, Nick, I know you can't do it without your able-bodied helpers. That, you know, these are a couple of guys that we've that have been part of over the years, a group of different helpers that you've had at different times. So also to them, we say a big thank you. Over the years, they've done a great job and looked after us. So from Compass to you, mate, we just wanted to say we love you and we thank you and very much appreciate you. So a season comes to an end, and I've just noticed that the principal of this school is actually here this morning. So, Pitzer, we just wanted to honour and thank you for your generosity towards us over the last 6.5 years. We have been very privileged and honoured. We have not taken it lightly to be able to use this space, and for you to have embraced us as a community and for facilitating and helping us to be able to be who we are. We just very much appreciate that. And again, to you and Michael Kahn, the assistant principal and other staff that have just been so good to us over the years, we just very much appreciate McKinnon and all the staff. And all the accolades and compliments that this school gets are totally deserved under your leadership. And we just very much appreciate you and your school. Thank you. And Pitzer sent me a beautiful message during the week. We sent some flowers, and Pitzer was kind enough to say they're the most beautiful flowers she's ever received. So I trust that's the truth, because I don't pick you as a lady that would lie. So I'm just glad that you like them. It's a small token of our appreciation. So, once again, we just wanted to, I don't know how you're supposed to say farewell to a space, but it's been nice. It's been great. Yeah, thumbs up. We're really excited about the next season that we're moving into, and would love for you. I know there's a little bit of different venues and whatnot over the next few weeks, but we are super excited about finally eventually getting into our space over there at Virginia Park. And again, we've had the full support of the school and here in that, and so it's just really cool. And we're looking forward to maintaining our relationship with the school and serving the school in whatever capacity and way that we can. This morning we're going to finish the service off, and there is the guys have got food down the back. Thank you to our teams that have worked so tirelessly in this space, the setup, pack up, host teams, coffee teams, and all the years of faithful service to the teams, worship teams, and the list go on, kids and grommets workers, everyone that's just come in early, setting up and packing up. Big heartfelt thanks from I. All of that doesn't stop, by the way. It doesn't stop here today. We still need it, everybody, and we need more hands on deck with the space we're going to. But just wanted to acknowledge all the hard work of everyone that's been involved. So, hey, let's just say grace for the food and finish off and enjoy. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, it's kind of surreal. 6.5 years in this on this privilege to be on this property and using buildings on this property. Father, we just thank you. We ask your blessing upon Pitzer, the staff, the faculty, staff and students here at McKinnon. That, Father, just as they've been generous to us, I ask that your blessing would be upon, in an ongoing way, on this school. And we just ask, Father God, for the coming weeks, months and years, that you continue to guide and lead us through the seasons that you have purposed for us and preordained for us. We wouldn't try to do things our own way, but we would just be so in tune with what you're wanting for the benefit of this community, this city and nations around the world you called us to serve. Bless this food that we're about to have and this time that we've got together here on our last Sunday at McKinnon. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.